Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
What do you think of a person who keeps their word? You tend to like a person who keeps their word? You can answer that one out loud if you like. Yeah. Then I got news for you. You're going to really like God. He keeps his word. Go ahead, say it to a couple people. Say, he keeps his word. He keeps his word. Come on, say it. Even if you're visiting this morning, you're like, I don't know, I haven't been to a church like this. Don't worry about it. We're just a bunch of people in a room going to talk about the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to like God because he keeps his word. Now, there are times in this life that we look at what unfolds and we look at circumstances, situations, etc. And we think, I don't know, I think this might be one of those things where God didn't keep his word or he wasn't watching or he wasn't attentive. And I want you to know that those are the moments where, in all honesty, we don't always see so clearly. And our faith gets challenged. That's true. But it's the testing of our faith, right? It grows us, matures us. Greater understanding comes. Greater faith comes. When we see greater needs come in our life and in the world around us. But I want you to know that he keeps his word. I am going to go through just a bunch of references of Scripture. I'll just tell you right now, a bunch of references of Scripture. And the Old Testament is filled with prophecies for God's people. Prophecy about a coming Messiah, who we, on this side of the prophecies, in this side of the birth of Christ, we get to look back and say, oh yeah, that prophecy was fulfilled. That scripture was fulfilled. And we begin to, you know, attach those fulfillments. And I want us to look at this because he's a keeper of his word. But I'm going to reference a lot of things here about Jesus. And I'm going to do it as quickly as I can. That's the truth. I know some of you say, yeah, I know that doesn't mean quick. Well, for me, I'm doing it as quick as I can. Thank you, that one person, Shirley. I think that was prophetic, so thanks. Okay, Shirley. So, all right. Many of these to begin with are in the book of Matthew. I won't tell you every reference. If you want to take notes, you can. This will be up on the website. And you can, if you're interested, you can play, pause, and write it down and look it up yourself. I don't want you to have to just assume to accept my word. You can look this up. The supernatural conception that Mary had was prophesied by Isaiah. And we see it fulfilled in the Gospels and certainly Matthew chapter 1. To go a little bit in a chronological order, and it doesn't mean this is every prophecy or every fulfillment that Jesus did, but here's a sampling of many. In Matthew chapter 2, Joseph was warned to take the child, his mother, to flee to Egypt. And there was a time that after Herod's death, it says, was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt did I call my son. I want you to know it's another prophecy, it's another scripture fulfilled. No, see, God had a plan. Have you ever had a plan? Do you like when a plan comes together? Yeah. But did you know that when the plan you have, it also takes work? It takes up time. You have to be very intentional. You got to roll up your sleeves. You know, a plan, it takes work. It takes watchfulness. Doesn't matter what your plan is or what the project is, it takes a plan. And it takes work. And here through these promises that God makes, We see that he watches over his word because he keeps it. He keeps his promises and the prophecies that are from him that came and he inspired people to speak them. And to them, you have to understand, I mean, when they're hearing some of this, can you imagine being in the shoes of Isaiah or sandals of Isaiah? Let's be a little more relevant for him. In his sandals, and God is speaking to you to say things that you've never heard of. Like there's going to be a Savior who comes, who's going to be born of a virgin. How would you like to get that message and then write it and proclaim it to people and think that they're going to believe you? Yet God keeps his word. Herod went around because he was threatened, murdering male babies 2 years old and under. And the scripture was fulfilled because it was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Say this, the scripture was fulfilled. Say it again. Herod died. Joseph takes his family. They move back into Palestine and settle in Galilee in a city called Nazareth. And that the scripture might be fulfilled, what the prophet spoke, it said, he shall be called a Nazarene. All these details, all these little things, things that we might just kind of pass over, just kind of read it as a point of information. I want you to know these are promises and prophecies that God watched over to keep and to fulfill. Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been delivered up. So he left Nazareth, went to Capernaum. And in order that the prophecy might be fulfilled that was given by Isaiah, namely that Galilee of the Gentiles might see a great light. That's what was said by Isaiah. Galilee's going to see a great light. And through the maneuvering and leading and over and watching over and the direction of Jesus and the events and all that went on, here he is, Jesus of Galilee. And boy, did he bring the light and the kingdom of God to people. Matthew 8 says that he cast out evil spirits and healed the sick, that might be that so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah again. Isaiah, he had a lot to say about the coming Messiah. He was known as a messianic prophet. There were other prophets and people and psalmists who spoke of the Lord to come. But Isaiah, he said this. He said, he took our infirmities and bore our diseases in chapter 53. That's what Jesus did, and he passed out health to people. It's what he's done. It's who he is. Jesus was visiting a Jewish synagogue, Matthew 12. He was taunted, of course, and being tested by the religious leaders to see if it was lawful or not to heal on the Sabbath. There was a man there at that synagogue who had a shriveled hand. Jesus heals him on the Sabbath. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He gets to call the shot on what the Sabbath is or isn't. Not you and I. Not our laws, but his laws. His direction, his heart for people. His parabolic teaching, that it might be fulfilled, God's word, God's promises, the prophecy spoken through the prophet, he said, I will open my mouth in parables. This was written in Psalms, that he would open his mouth in parables. And he will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He came and told these parables and stories about what the kingdom of heaven was like to everyone, but especially for those who couldn't read, they couldn't write, they were uneducated, they were poor, they were laborers. They didn't have all the education. So he told them stories because, let's face it, you and I remember stories probably a lot better than just information. And when you tell the story, you remember the point. And Jesus came and taught about the kingdom of heaven and told parables. And that's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 73, that he would come, the Savior would come, and this is what he would do. And God's watching over and making sure that these things are done. Now Jesus, as he grew and he became a man, he knew these scriptures. He knew the prophecies. He was aware of them. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Passover, the week of Passover. He rides in on a donkey or a colt. It was prophesied long ago. And this is what happens. Jesus, right, he fulfills this scripture. He fulfills this prophecy. All through history, all through time, as this is going on, he's fulfilled these scriptures. He's fulfilled the promises. God keeps his word. He takes initiative. He watches over it. When Judas, the betrayer, led officials to the garden to apprehend Jesus, that he would suffer, Peter responded with a sword. He even cut off the ear of the chief priest's servant, name was Malchus, because he wasn't going to let them take Jesus. Jesus stops Peter. He says, hey, stop this. And this is a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, a prophecy long before. Jesus stopped this because he said, I need to go through this and we need to do this. Because it is to fulfill the scripture. The Lord goes through painstaking effort to fulfill the scripture in our life. You'll see it in Mark 14, this same account of Peter being aggressive with a sword, and Jesus stops him and says, let the scriptures be fulfilled. I'm going to read to you in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. I want you to listen to these few verses, verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, he was on the cross, they come by and they inspect. Because those who still had breath in them, they would break their legs and add additional suffering and pain and they would die. When they came to Jesus, hanging on the cross, so they came to him and he was already dead. They did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has been borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. See, there's something here about the credibility of God that has to get every person's attention. Whether you've been following him, serving him, whether you really believe in him or you don't, there's a point where we have to look at the history and what was done and what was fulfilled and come to a point of decision that says, you know what, if this man Jesus is really truly the Son of God, the Savior, I better pay attention to this. I better find out. It says this, for these things took place, why? So that the scripture might be fulfilled. You see, it was prophesied that he would not have any broken bones. God watched over it. He made sure the prophecy came to pass, that the prophecy, his promise, his word, his scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And another scripture says this, they will look upon him who they have pierced. So it was prophesied about him. God has gone through, Jesus has gone through, the Holy Spirit has gone through painstaking effort to see that the scriptures are fulfilled. Why are you sharing all this with us, Randy? Because I have a question for me, for you. You see, if we as followers are supposed to become like him, what painstaking thing have I expressed or done in my life to make sure that the scriptures are fulfilled in my life? He made sure the scriptures are fulfilled. And we know that we receive grace and mercy. We know that salvation is by faith. But after that faith is expressed, we're called to accountability. What painstaking effort have I done to fulfill the scriptures, to obey God's word? Or have I gotten caught up in, well, the world's thinking, the world's philosophy? I'm deducing my own reasoning based on my limited view, and I'm so smart by interpreting all the circumstances that have happened in my life and around me, and therefore this is what I think and believe. I like when God asks this question in Scripture. He says, "Where were you when I flung the stars into space?" Yeah, I've done things you don't have a sweet clue about. You get to look at them. But where were you? Our scope and our understanding, I'm not criticizing us, it is just that it's so limited compared to his. We get to see this track record of God, keeping his word, fulfilling the scriptures. And now I am called to become like him, where it's written, less of me. I need to decrease, and he needs to increase in me. The scriptures that call us to crucify ourself and to live after him, become like him in nature, in character, in discipline, in joy, in peace. Obeying God, making sure that scriptures are fulfilled in my life with his help. Or have we fallen into a philosophy that, well, you know, yeah, but, you know, Jesus is full of grace and mercy, which is true. But our interpretation of grace and mercy is that just kind of means that, well, obviously, God just wants me happy. And when we say things like that, it empowers our weakness. That our weakness would be stronger. That we would grow sloppy in our faith and do the things in our faith that are easy but not the things that are hard. Or the things that are quick and not the things that take time. Or the things that are, you know, a little more somewhat natural for us opposed to the things that take initiative. And planning, commitment, sacrifice. We know that he prefers obedience over sacrifice. I'm not talking about you and I get to choose what we sacrifice to God, and therefore, you know, hopefully it's pleasing. He would rather that we would obey him, do what we know, what he has revealed to us, that we would become like him. That you and I would become very conscious, very purposeful in reading his word and knowing what it says, that I would be careful to fulfill what a believer is supposed to look like, act like, think, the attitude of Christ would be more in me than I would be in me. He has gone to painstaking effort because he loves you. He loves me. I've met me. I don't get it. But he loves me. At times, I think he likes me. He loves me. I'm talking about like now. He loves me. That doesn't change. At times, I think he might like me. Other times I know he has not liked me, but he loved me. And I'm not passing judgment on you, but I've met some of you. He always loves you, but he may not always like you. You and I are in the same boat. We need saving and we need help. And you and I cannot just get away with the phrase that says, well, God understands. I have a special agreement with him, when it empowers our weakness to continue to not take initiative and in fulfilling his scripture in our life. Sometimes fulfilling his scripture in our life means I got to lay some things down and put away my preferences. And you know what else? It might even cost me money. Well, who do you love more? You? Or him? Do you love you more? Love your money more? You love him more? Or you love your time more? You love him more? Or you love your habit more? Or you love your weak interpretation of this so that you and I can get away with stuff and think God has grace and mercy to cover it? To justify the inward creeping of our own flesh to try to take over when we know his word is true. It's pure. And his word is for us. It's not against us. It's against my flesh, my attitude at times, because I'm the one that's wrong. Not him. He has gone to great extent to fulfill his scripture. And the question is, Randy Williamson, you can plug your own name in. What extent have I gone to, out of faith in him, to make sure that his scripture, his teaching, his ways are fulfilled in my life?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.